Today's topic is milk and bread, simen tzadi zayin, and that is that bread is a staple food. People eat it in all kinds of meals, and it's usually parv. So in order to avoid a problem of someone taking bread that was milchigs and with meat, or fleishig bread and eating it with milk, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to make a bread that has milk in it. You're not allowed to make grease the floor of your oven with animal fat or chicken, the Chachamim say chicken fat also, and if you did, then not only can you eat if it's milk bread with meat or fish bread with dairy, but you can't even eat it at all or even with powerful foods with it. The food, you're not allowed to eat it at all. Okay? So later on, the Gemara says there's an exception, that if you make the bread in Tura, then it's mutter. Okay, so the word Tura means a bowl, like the word shar in Hebrew. And the Rishonim have two pshatim of what it means, Ke'ein Tura. Rashi says that Ke'ein means like the eye of, like Ke'ayin Tura, which is to say is you make the bread so small, it's like the size of a bull's eye, the eye of a bull, and if it's so small, you're going to eat it, you'll consume it so quickly, so by that, you'll eat it before you forget. You won't forget that it's milk and flesh, and you'll eat it quickly enough, you won't have a problem, okay? And therefore, you're allowed to make it so small, because there's no problem, you might eat it with the wrong type of topping on it. The Rif says, Ke'ein Tura just means it should be like a shar, like a bull, which is to say is you decorate it or you engrave it in an unusual way or into the shape of a bull, and that reminds the person that this is not regular bread. And that will prevent him, again, from eating it with meat or with milk and the other way around, because he sees this unusual shape, that's his reminder to not do that, and in that case, Chazal allowed you to do it. So, Targum Shari Dura says that both of these explanations seem really plausible and smart and, worthwhile. And therefore he says, you can use both of them, okay? You can use either of these are going to work. And all these these Gemaras that I've mentioned, and Targum Shari Dura, all put in Shulchan Aruch, again, it's in Tzadik's hand. Okay, so this Isser is obvious. At home, there's an obvious application of this Isser. You can't make bread with milk and with meat in it. That's pretty straightforward. And it also comes up in commercial bakeries who like to add milk milk into their breads. It makes it more tender, it gives it a darker crust. So halacha is pretty straightforward. You can't make it, it's not considered kosher. If you make that food, you can't make that bread is not considered kosher. That's pretty straightforward. So the rest of what we're going to discuss is some different examples or details of these dinim where they fit in. And the first one is like this. What happens if there's a commercial bakery and they're making milk and bread, and therefore, of course, it's not certified as kosher because you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat that bread. But now they want to make something else in the bakery. They want to make some other food, and it's okay for that food to be milk. There's no restriction. It doesn't fall under this din of milk and bread. The question is, do they have to kasher their kelim? They're going to mark that thing as milchigs. So do they have to kasher their kelim? They don't have to. The fact that it was milchigs is not a reason to kasher, because this thing is also going to be milchigs. The question is, but do they have to kasher it because they made on it this milchig bread, which the milchig bread was not, is not considered kosher? So Rav Shechta said that question depends on whether, when Chazal said a person, you're not allowed to eat this milchig bread, even by itself, did that mean they made the food into an iser? It's like a forbidden food. This is now an iser. The food itself was iser. If they did, then you have to kasher the kelim, because just trade food was made on this clay. Trade food, mitzvah rabbanan trade, but a trade it is. Or did the Chazal structure this iser as being an iser on the person? Don't eat bread that was made milchigs. Don't eat bread that was made fleishigs. Then it's an iser on the person. And then the understanding is that when it says you're not allowed to need it like that, means because we're not going to let you eat it afterwards. So you're like sort of wasting your time. So if it's just an iser on the food, on the person, then an iser on the person doesn't make the kelim treif. I have to deal with that. The kelim are not treif, in which case, then you wouldn't have to kash before you made the other food. So he pointed to a daki tshuva, here in the simen, Sivkot Nirafidus, who brings some achronim who say that the bread is considered iser, but he also brings that Shlomo Kluger and the Chavos Das say that no, it's just an iser on the person. And Rav Shechta said, he also said that if you look, you see the Shach seems to say that also, because the Shach says, the Isser of eating milk and bread is just an Isser of Sofik, of maybe you'll eat this bread the wrong way, so the Isser means Sofik. It doesn't sound like it's an Isser on the food itself, like a typical takana would be is, and Rav Shechter was therefore was makel to say is that you do not have the kasha of the kelim. So they made milchik bread. The milchik bread is not with hashkacha. If they want to make some other milchik food on those same kelim, they did not have to. They did not have the kasha. Okay. That shilov is milchik bread. Isser itself, or is it just an isser on the person, is going to get to a second question, and that is like this. What happens if you want to make a bread with milk in it, but there's such a tiny amount that the milk that's in there is going to for sure be batel b'shishim? So, remember, the reason why Chazal said we can't have milk with bread is because the person might, by mistake, eat it with meat. Well, in this case, the ikkar then is, since there's so little milk in here, you're actually allowed to eat it with meat. So maybe in that case, Chazal ben Nasir, there's nothing wrong with eating this bread. There's nothing wrong with eating this bread with meat. So maybe then there would be no issue to make the bread in the first place. Okay. So two Achronim who speak about this, the earlier Achronim, is the Tzemach Tzedek, the Kadmon, the earlier one, and the Marit. Actually, both live around the same time. They don't quote each other, but they live around the same time in the early 1600s. And it's like this: the Marit says it's poshut that before I explain it, both the Marit and the Tzemach Tzedek are talking about the opposite case where you put meat in. Let's hear more about the exact case they were talking about, but for now I'm going to pretend that they were talking about that you put meat into bread. So for our purposes, the more typical would be that you put milk into the bread. But in their case, it was about meat. So the Marit says, it's Pashid that if it's batel, if the amount of meat that's in there is batel, then there's no visser. The whole problem is you might eat this bread with milk, but if this bread would actually be allowed to be milk, then it's completely mutter. And Tzemach Tzedek says, no. He says, what are you talking about? He says, you can't put the meat into the bread. You can't put the meat into the bread because that would be bitulus al chatzilu. You're taking meat, you're making a bread that's not allowed to have meat in it, and you're putting it in an amount that would be bitulus as a way to get around the din, so that's bitulus al chatzilu. So you're not allowed to do that. Once you're not allowed to make the bread, if it's not batel, then you're not going to make it, even if it is batel also. Okay, so a simple reading of this din, a simple reading of this machlokes, would tell you that they're arguing about this point we made beforehand. If we view the bread as being iser, the bread is iser, then em ratlis of the chatchila comes into play. Don't be mevatel and iser in this kind of a way. And don't put it, this food's going to become usher. You put in too little, it's not going to become usher. That's bitulus chatchila, and that would be the tzemach tzedek. And the Marit would be saying is that it's just an issue on the person. Well, if it's a kind of bread that has no issue to the person, then there's no problems here. Okay. If that was true, if their machlokes, the Marit and the tzemach tzedek had to do with this, since we said beforehand that that milchig or fleishig bread is not an isser, we would make all that. We say you don't have the kasher after it's not isser, just an isser on the person. Then we would also say that you'd be allowed to put in a small amount of milk into the recipe, even though it's not bottle. Okay, but it's not clear that that's really what the machlokes is telling you. And it could be that even people who say that you don't have the kasher because it's not food which is isser would still view it as bitulus chatchila. Because if you think about it, bitulus chatchila means is that if you're not supposed to do something, and you have a loophole to get around it by putting in less, like you're going to use less than crosses the line, you're going to sort of avoid that problem. That's you're using a loophole. That's what Chazal say. Don't do that. Don't aim the vatlanes of kelim. Don't find loopholes to put in so little that it won't make a difference to a person. That's not what you should do. And that's basically what's going on over here. If you put in more milk, it would be awesome. You wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So you're putting in less, and you're allowed to eat it. So it could be that even if you held that it's not, the food is not yisr, this would still be an example of en ratlis al chatchila. Makes you feel better. If you look, the Chavis Das, the Nesivis in the Chavis Das, he says like one of these things, and the Makar Chaim the other way, which would tell us that we can't connect these sheetahs to each other. Anyhow, so. Let's say it's really not totally zebizet, and could be that bitulus chatchila would apply, even though we will make it and say we don't have the kasher, it potentially could be bitulus chatchila could apply. However, that's if we just see the tzemach tzelik and the marit. But the Magen Avraham brings this tzemach tzelik. The reason why he brings it is because one of the other things they wanted to be it wasn't a case of bread. We'll get to his case in a second. They want to put chametz into this food also. So the Magen Avraham spoke about in Hilchos Pesach, and Magen Avraham says that he says, you know, theoretically, I can understand that it would be that this is a problem. Theoretically, a case of bitlus chachila. He says, however, like the Tzemach Tzedek says, he says, but it only makes sense to say bitlus if that is bitlus chachila if the person puts in the meat with plans to eat it with milk. So then I'm putting in meat into a food in its tiny amount, and I want to eat this food with milk. But I'm doing something so I can eat milk and meat together. And I'm using bitul as part of my cheshbon over here. See, but the case of Tzemach Tzedek, they're not putting the meat because they want to eat with milk. They're just stomping. They just want to make this food. They're just trying to make food. And in his case in particular, they really had no interest, could care less what was it that was in there. So he says it's basically an example of one of the exceptions to the issel of Ein Vatel L'Sechatchila. And one of those, this famous exception is Ein Kavanos L'Vatel. When the person is putting it in, not because they want it in there and they're trying to get around the Isser, they have whatever reason it's in there for some side reason, that's incarnos lavato, and in that case, there's no problem with bitlus chatchila. Now, some of the achronim don't agree with this. Some of the achronim say, nah, he says, this is not a case of incarnos lavato, we're not going to get into why. Mechitz Yaakov is not happy with this idea that it's incarnos lavato, but a lot of the later achronim accept, what this Magen Avraham's point, many of the Achronim, like Shulchan Aruch Rav, and there's more brings like that also, to be makel and say is, that we consider this to be an example of Enkavna Zalato, there's no problem of bitlus l'chatchila, and therefore, you're allowed to add in small amounts of milk, or meat, for that matter, in a way that would be batel, and the food does not become usher, you're allowed to eat, the bread does not become usher. So, this idea, what is the basis, at least the modern basis, for allowing give hashkocha on English muffins that are milchugs, and even some breads. There are even breads out there that are with beer reliable hashkocha, and are yet labeled as dairy. And those are made because they're made with, they have very little milk in it. The milk that's in there is batel b'shishim. No one's making it with the intention you should dafke eat it with meat. They make it some as a piece of bread. It actually says D on the package. It says whatever the hashkacha with the D next to it to note that it's actually dairy. So it's actually, you're being told, don't eat this with meat. And therefore, since it's batel, the people who give hashkacha look at it and say, what are we doing wrong? It's batel. If the milk is batel in the food, then in the bread, there's no issa to make milk bread. So technically it's mutter. All the hashkachas are not so happy about this and would not give hashkacha to it because of the marasayin. You pick up a bread and it says in it that it's dairy. Well, that gives the impression that it's perfectly fine to have dairy bread. Many people have no idea this then. When they see this, they say, look, I have English muffins, that's a kind of bread. Basically, it's a kind of bread. And this bread is milchigs. So if the bread is milchigs, so that misleads them to think you're allowed to have milk and bread, which is not correct. So all the hashkachas therefore refuse to certify those types of things. Okay. A related question to that is, what about is it marasayin to have a bread mix which contains milk ingredients? I mean, it's just all the powdered ingredients. It's not a loaf of bread, but the instructions tell you, you know, do X, Y, and Z, and this powder turns into bread. Well, if we give hashkacha to it, and it's labeled D, you're telling people, if you follow these instructions, what you end up with is going to be kosher. In fact, it's not going to be kosher if you do what the instructions say. The instructions say to make, you should turn this into bread. Now, you could make it very small pieces, you could make it cane tour, you could find ways to get around it, but basically, if you're not advanced enough to know those kind of details, you just follow the instructions. You're going to go make it. It will not be allowed to be eaten. So, seriously, takes the position about those things, about the bread mixes, that if it's something that's going for industrial use, then we would certify it on condition that the word dairy was very prominent. Prominent, what I mean is that it's part of the name. Like we'd call it Howie's Dairy Chicken Spice Blend, or Howie's Dairy Bread Mix. So it would be right there in the title, so no one could miss the fact that this thing is dairy. If it's for retail use, then and if it was like a spice blend kind of thing, where again, the same michshol potentially is there, we would allow it, again, with the name being very prominent, but not for bread mix. So many people are not aware of this din, that it wouldn't be appropriate to label it, to let a bread mix go out with a CRCD on it, because the people who use it are basically going to make a food that they're not allowed to eat. Okay, now, this Magen Avraham, is of course talking about that there's so little, you're allowed to put it in because it was going to be bottle. If it's not, then obviously there was nothing to talk about, that the whole thing was based on it, of course, being bottle. Okay, now let's move on to another part of this shaila. So this question, things, shailas have to do with theory bread. And they're like this. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, I already said you're not allowed to make dairy bread, or milk or fleshy bread, because you might eat it with the wrong way. Okay, now, is that iser specific to bread, or would it apply to other foods that people commonly eat with meat or milk, where the same kind of mistake could happen? Now, it's pretty typical that when the Chazal asks for something, they say something, a specific thing you're not allowed to do, we don't move from that thing. They say, this is what they asked, that's what they asked. Even if the logic might apply to another case, we don't extend it to other cases that are similar. We just say, whatever they asked, that's what they asked. But so, in which case, you could say, it's just for bread. On the other hand, maybe bread was just a common example. It's just a common food that's eaten with so many meals. But if we have other foods that are like that, that are eaten often with meat and milk, eat with meat or with milk, maybe we should ask them also. Okay, so the Tzemach Tzedek that I said to you beforehand, that I mentioned beforehand, assume that it was not specific to bread. Because his case, I told you before, and I'm going to pretend that his case was about bread, but it actually was not. His case was people added animal fat and wheat germ to wine in order to get the cloudiness out. However that function is not relevant to us. They were adding animal fat to wine. So wine is not bread. But he said was, the Tzemach Tzedek, and Magen Avraham, and everybody else who's quoting this, talking about the Tzemach Tzedek, is assuming that you're not, just like you're not going to have fleshig bread, you're not going to have fleshig wine, because wine was eaten in all kinds of meals, and you might eat it with milk. The Taz, in our Simen, in Simen Tzadi Zayin, talks about what happened. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Tzadi Vav, he talks about spices that you ground in a fleshig grinder. And we talked about it the other Indian, halachas. So the Taz says, wait a second, how can you do that? How can you make fleshig spices? How can have spices that are fleshig? What happened to the issur of making fleshig bread? The spices get used with everything. Maybe you put those spices into a milchig dish. So what's going on here? So the Taz also was assuming that the issur to make dairy bread or meat bread applies to, even if it's not bread also, anything that's eaten with regular foods. Okay, so those are the people who say that you can only, the issur applies to all kinds of things that are eaten with milk and fleshig, that are commonly assumed to be parv. But the later achronim, I'll give you some names, the Pekodesh and the Chavis Das and the Milchaz Yaakov, Chacham Zaldeman, or Chashulchan, all say that it's not true, the issur is specific for bread, and only bread, that's the only thing that's usher, and for that reason, that's sort of accepted to follow that approach. And therefore, if you go to the market, you'll see there's water and orange juice and tea and margarine and liquid eggs, all of them that are made as milchigs, even though it's common to eat those at fleshig meals, with fleshig foods, you put them onto a fleshig food, even so, the hashkachas take the assumption that it's okay to make those in milchig or fleshig form. Now, that was what the Tzemach Tzedek says. But the Marit was also talking about a case that was not bread. His case was a case of crackers. And in his area, vegetable oil was very expensive, and therefore they used animal fat as part of making their crackers. And he talks about, so is it included, what we mentioned before, is it included in the issur of making milchig bread and fleshig bread? It was a small amount, and it was bottled up, so he was talking about the bitter part of it. But, if you didn't know better, you would say as well, the marit, that's a non-bread. Crackers are not bread, so we shouldn't care about that kind of child. The problem is that several of the Achorim that I just mentioned to you, who said that the only issur is on bread, say they bring this marit, and they're talking about the thing about the crackers and putting the meat into it. The Pechodesh, the Chazakim, the Chacham Zalman, the Chashulchan, all bring this marit. So what does that tell us? It tells us that even though the issur only applies to bread, the issur of making milchig or fleshig bread only applies to bread, not to other foods, but the word bread shouldn't be taken so narrowly to mean only bread, literally, like bread in the kamitzion. It also includes pasabah v'kisnin. Pasabah v'kisnin are foods, crackers, cakes, and pies, where the bracha is mizarnis, but if you make a meal out of it, then the bracha is hamoitzi. So it's a form of pas. It's not exactly bread, which you always make hamoitzi on. It's a type of pas, pasabah v'kisnin. So for these kind of dinim, it's considered pas. So the din of milchul gofleishik bread, that iser, applies only to bread. But the term bread is broader than literally bread. It includes also possible kissing. Okay, so we're being makel to say it's only for bread, but we'll say we're being machmer to say the word bread has a broader understanding than literally just plain bread by itself. Now, although Passover kissin is considered bread, the Marit makes another point about it, which many of these same pesukim that I keep mentioning bring down as well. And that is like this. The only kinds of bread-like items, like crackers, which cannot be made as meat or milk, are ones that somebody, at least potentially, might eat with milchiks, or fleishiks. So, like for us, that would be crackers or flatbreads that, you know, if you have a cracker, somebody might put cream cheese on, if they made them flaky, they might put cream cheese onto it, or coconuts onto it, on the crackers or flatbreads. But, for example, if I had a cherry pie, so cherry pie is possible kissing, but nobody puts milk or cheese onto a cherry pie. It's not the way anyone eats it. So, so the Marit says, you might eat a cherry pie at a milk meal, or at a flaky meal, but you wouldn't eat it with milk or with meat. Nobody ever put a piece of meat onto their cherry pie, and therefore the Marit says the issur of fleishik bread does not apply. Okay, so that means that to us that says is that if you want to make pretzels or cakes together with milk, then they are possible kissing. So in theory, the issur of milk to make milk bread would apply to them, but it's okay to make them because nobody eats it with meat. Nobody takes pretzels and put meat onto them. It's very unusual, and therefore you'd be allowed to make them. In this regard, just an interesting thing, which is cookies, might be like it's in-between food, because people eat cookies with milk. Of course, they dunk their cookies into milk, but people don't eat cookies with meat. So it's got a funny situation. You'd be allowed to make milchik cookies, because nobody eats them with meat, but you wouldn't be allowed to make fleishik cookies. So it's like an interesting food difference. Now, Rabelsky took this one step further, and he said, the Marit said it's for his crackers, or his possible kisnin. Rabelsky said, well, the same thing, the same logic applies for bread itself, even if it's not possible kisnin, but that no one eat with meat. And his example was for a pizza crust, that the company makes, they don't make whole pizza, they just make pizza crust, and they make it milchiks. The pizza crust is not possible kisnin, it's plain old pas. And if you make it, typically, it's not pas. But he says, but since it's obvious that a pizza crust, at least for Jewish people, nobody eats pizza crust with meat in it, because pizza crust is meant for pizza, which is milchiks, you can't eat it with meat. Nobody makes it. So therefore, he said that there's no issur making that in milchik as a milchik bread. There's no issur making it as milchik bread, because it's a pas. It is pas, and in theory it could apply, but since nobody would eat it with meat, what the Marit says, it's brought by many of the Achranim. An interesting other case, which was not as clear as this, as the pizza crust, which was, there was a company that was making bread to be sold to another company, specifically made for another company, that would turn that bread into French toast. Now, the French toast was going to be milchiks, okay? but that wasn't so relevant. Nobody eats French toast with bread, with meat. Okay, that's totally not typical. Someone to put meat on their French toast. So the question was, could the original company that bakes the bread make that bread milchiks? This bread is, in theory, it's, right now it walks out of the first company as just plain old bread. And that bread, of course, you can eat with meat. You can make a sandwich out of it. But it's directed. It's being made specifically for a client who can use it to make French toast. So maybe we should say is this bread will be a kind of bread that will definitely not be eaten with, nobody would eat with meat, and you should be allowed to make it like this Marit is saying. Or should you say is, no, right now, it's just plain bread. What I have in mind doesn't help make a difference over here. Okay, that's one part of the question. Also, what happens if they made the bread special? Like there was a possibility, the bread would be made perfectly the slices would be perfectly squished. They'd look good as French toast. That was for the specs of the French toast company. So it's that, maybe that means that that's more clear that it's heading to a French toast company. Anyhow, this is a question of maybe we should, whether this should be allowed, whether this should be mutter or not. We'll see a little more about this in a little bit. Okay, now, one last point in this section here is that the issur to make bread that's milchuk sufflations is only if it has in it ingredients that are milchuk. But it's okay to make it in a milchuk oven or a milchuk pan, as long as that oven or pan is perfectly clean, and of course you don't have in mind to eat it with meat. That would cause other problems if you want to eat it with meat, but not mechatchila kind of questions. But otherwise, the issur itself only applies if it has actual ingredients that are milchuk or fleishig zimmer. Okay, now, talking about ke'en tura, we saw that there's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rif, what ke'en tura means. Does it mean it's very small, as Rashi said, or does it mean ke'en tura means that it has an unusual shape? Okay. And the Pesachim say that even though we have these two explanations for Ke'en Tura, it doesn't mean those are specific. You have to do it exactly like that. It rather just means you have to, the Gemara is giving examples of doing something to make sure that you won't eat it with the wrong type. You won't eat this milk bread with meat or the flesh of bread with milk. But if you have any way of doing that, that's fine. These ways are fine. And I have two indications like that to this point. The first is the Hagosh Shaidura that I mentioned earlier, who says, he says, you know, the Rashi and the Rift say different shatim of Ke'en Tura, and they're both really sensible, and yeah, they both have merit, and therefore we can be mikkel about both of them, and in fact, that's what we do. Well, if Ke'en Tura was Chazal giving a very specific heter, they're saying, you can do this specific thing is our exception that the Chazal built into the din, well then, what do you mean you can do both of them? Because I either meant this one or that one. They didn't mean both of them. So that in itself, that you're saying is, you can do whichever one you like, sounds like it's saying is, that it's the Gemara what didn't mean to be specific. So we have two explanations, they're both good, and you come up with another idea of how to make sure you won't forget, and that's also perfectly fine also. Okay? That's one thing. The second is even more clear, how Gershur Dur elsewhere says, that the Rosh told him, that if somebody takes bread, that's milchuk sufflations, and that so, you sort of weren't supposed to do that, but you could make it ke'en tura. The way you could do that is if it was fleishigs, you could stick a bone into it, or if it was milchigs, stick a piece of cheese on the top of it, and then it will be obvious that this is milchig fleishig bread because there's bone sticking out of it or a piece of cheese, and then you'll have accomplished the ke'en tura. Okay, now the Gemara doesn't say anything about putting bones or cheese into it or anything like that. Obviously, so the Chacham Zalman says, you see from there that the word ke'en tura doesn't mean to do these very specific things. It means find some way to make it obvious that it's milchuk sufflations or something that'll make sure that you don't forget. And as long as you make sure that you do something that won't make it forget, that's good enough. Okay? It doesn't have to be a specifics of what the word ke'en tura means. Okay? And this idea is the basis for what the Prim Gadim says, is that what happens if you have a bread that there's so much animal fat in it that it oozes out of the sides of it. You could see it when you look at it. He says the bread is mutter. Because everyone sees the animal fat, so they know that this has animal fat, and then they won't eat it with milk. Okay? Like, for an example for us would be if you had a corn dog. Okay? So the corn dog is bread, but it has this hot dog sticking out of it. It's bread-like, assuming it's really chamesh is being dug on, and has a hot dog sticking out of it. So then it's obvious that this thing is fleishig, because you want to eat it with milk. Arbelsky said something similar to that. He says, what happens if you have a pastry that has a really strong cheese smell to it, so it's obvious to everybody that this is milchigs, then it's okay, and you don't have to worry about it being Passover kistin, which is made milchigs, that would be awesome. Now, so now let's go back to what Rashi and the Rif said about Ke'en Tura. Rashi said is that the bread has to be, Ke'en Tura means like the size of the eye of a bull, and so you won't forget about it. Now, the Gemara is actually being very, very specific about how big it should be. The eye of a bull, I don't know exactly how big an eye of a bull is, but it's pretty small, okay? And the Gemara seems to be very specific about it. Do it exactly this specific size. But even so, the Rama says, nah, you know, that the Gemara, I guess he holds it just as being, you know, being extreme, but really it's good enough if it's, even if it's one, a loaf that'll be finished in one day, because no one will forget in one day. So he says, and that's the reason why you can make your challah for Shabbos with animal fat in them, or you can make challah for Shavuos with milk in it, because in each case you're going to finish it in one day, the Shabbos, or either Shabbos or Shavuos, and no one's going to forget in that short amount of time. So they're sort of expanding what the Gemara had said a very specific thing, they expand a little bit more than that, okay? The Rif said that Tein Tura means it has an unusual shape. So the Marit that we talked about, that we mentioned beforehand, wants to know, well, what happens if it doesn't have an unusual shape? But everyone in town knows that this, that the bread is made with meat. Like in his case, where in that area, vegetable oil is expensive. Everybody knew that they made the breads there with meat. So everybody here knows that it's made with meat. What about in that case? What happens? He says, well, wait a second. What happens if a guest comes over? So he says, probably the people will tell the guests. You don't have to be worried about the people pass on to the guests. He says, but that's fine if they may have a guest. But if the person is selling it to the public, then the shape has to be really unusual, because just a regular-looking bread, then we have to be concerned that the store owners are not going to remember until every person who walks in the door that this is fleishig bread. And therefore he said that would not be allowed. So in his case, there was nothing, as I said, there was nothing about the bread that was unusual. An interesting variation of that is, what about in the Jewish world, there's essentially, we could split people in half in a specific way, which is whether they do or don't eat Chol of Yisrael. I'm sorry, they do or don't eat Chol of Stam. And what's happened is that in the Chol of Stam world, there are loads of crackers and croissants and all kinds of donuts, all kinds of foods that are milchiks. They're all over the place because since they can eat Chol of Stam, then they have Chol of Stam. Companies that make those things with milk in them are certified as kosher. People who eat Chol of Stam are very used to the fact that a donut might be milchiks. So to them, they know good and well that donuts can be milchiks. They won't eat it with meat. They're not the people in the Maritz town. But the people who only eat Chol of Yisrael, being as those foods are only made, they won't eat Chol of Stam, so their food are made in factories, made in special food for people of kosher. Either it's a factory that's always parved, or it's made in a Jewish food who will always, of course, make a parved just so people can eat those. So to those people, crackers are always parved. Donuts are always parved. So to those people, there's nothing, when they looked at this food, they would never dream that it's milchiks. The question was raised, are they allowed to make milchik, is it okay to make milchik crackers and donuts and things like that, when for half the tzibur would never dream that these things are milchik? So then it's obvious that it's par. Okay, well anyhow, back to what we were talking about. This question about things being obvious came up when English muffins were first certified. The first company, at least the big company, was Thomas' English Muffins. And they look a little different than regular bread. And when they were first certified, it was basically that was, they had the whole market. The whole market of English muffins belonged to Thomas's. And the question at that time was, should we say that the fact that the shape is a little bit different be enough to make people realize they have to think about whether this is milchik or parv? And then they would realize, well, this has a little bit of a different shape to it, and now I'm going to look see if it's milchik, and the label's clearly said on it that it's dairy, now it should be good enough. Or should we say is that the people who use it, the people who are eating it, are not the people who bake it, maybe the shape is not good enough. And as I mentioned before, and nowadays that's not such a relevant question. I don't know what happened at the beginning, but at this point, the milk is bottle, so the question became moot, because it would be mutter for that reason. The question came a little complicated, because in more recent years there are other brands. But okay, one last thing to talk about is timing. And that is, Chazal said we can't make bread that's milchiks afleishiks because you might eat it the wrong way. Okay, so Rabelsky said, let's do the simple part first. Rabelsky said it's obvious that once a bread is fully baked, then there's no issue to add milk or meat to it. So if you take a slice of bread, plain old good kosher powdered bread, and you put you make French toast out of it. I mentioned before, you make French toast out of it, no problem. You can, even though the French toast has milk in it, it's not a problem. The bread is milchiks now, because you just dunked it into this, batter that has milk in it, that's okay. And theory, somebody could eat it with nim, but that's not the issue. The issue was to make bread that's milk. This is bread that was already made kosher, and the fact that you added the milk afterwards is not going to be a problem. Okay, that's the easy case. What about the other way around? What happens if you make milk bread, which you weren't supposed to? Is it okay to add a shape or a mark to it after it's baked? In other words, could you put the ke'en tura, the rifts ke'en tura, could you make that shape after you finish baking it? What about doing Rashi's case? What about if you take the loaf that you made and you say, oh my gosh, I make milk bread and I'm not supposed to make milk bread, and I break it up into a bunch of little pieces. Okay, I make it into small pieces and then give them out to 10 different neighbors. So I say, hey, each person is only getting one day's worth of food. And so maybe I should milk it. That's also ke'en tura. Or do you say, no, it's too late. You blew it. You made it already milk, it's too late. So, Rav Ganak thought that maybe this should be totally on the shaila, whether it's Isser food or not Isser food. But Rav Shachta said, no, he didn't buy that. He says, if you look, you'll see the Achareim say the following. The crazy place he brings, a shaila of a B'dievet case. Somebody was baking bread in their oven, and meat rolled, some grease or meat rolled from one dish that was cooked in the oven, rolled over to the bread. Which is a case that Shachanov talks about, that you shouldn't do that, you should avoid that. But that's what happened. The meat rolled over and made the bread fleshings. So the crazy place, he says, that his grandfather told the people what they should do is divide the bread between many different families, so each one gets less than a day's worth of bread, and that'll be okay, that'll be ke'en tura. That has to say is, the bread was already baked, and it was baked the iser, it was fleshings, yet he said what you should do is, you could divide it up even afterwards. And the Chacham Sultan says, the same kind of a story happened, and one of Dayanam and Vilna was made and said, also divide it up and give it to different people, and that's going to be good enough. So those people are saying, you can make the simmon whenever you want to. You can do the ke'en tura whenever you'd like to. But both, the crazy placey and the Chacham Sultan, both say they're really not happy about this kula. Okay, they're really not happy about this kula. And the Chavos Das and the Prim Golden specifically say that you should not be simmoch on that, and that the bread is usur. Okay? So therefore, the hasha seems to be that you're not allowed to. You have to do it. It has to be before it became usur. You can't do it later on. It doesn't help to do it afterwards. Now, Rav Shachta said, even so, that you have to do it by the time it's baked. He was makel to say is that, excuse me, it's still considered, so to speak, to be baking as long as it's hot. If it comes out of the oven and it's not yet cooled down, that's still considered it's in the middle of the, so to speak, like the baking process. And therefore, at that point, you could still eat a mark or break up the loaves at that point. But once it cools down, then it's too late, and then you can't make it gain to her. So one last point within this is, Dine Fisher has a tshuva, where he says is, that not only can you make ke'en tura, you have to make ke'en tura before you finish baking, but you actually, he says, you don't have to actually make the ke'en tura then. Even if you plan the ke'en tura at the time of baking, that's good enough. The case in the Chacham Sodom and Crazy Placey, those were cases where it happened by mistake. At the time of baking, you weren't planning on that. It happened like that. And you later decided to divide it up. But if you had planned from beforehand, I'm going to bake it like this, and then I'm going to divide it up. Or in Dine Fisher's cases, I'm going to bake it like this, but then I'm going to put a mark on it afterwards to make it obvious that this is milk. I'm going to do the ke'en tura afterwards. If you had that in mind, he says that's good enough. Now, it's not clear if other places would agree to that, but that was his idea. And that was negated, actually, in his case, was putting on a logo right onto, his case was to put a logo right onto the packet, onto the bread itself, like in Eretz Yisrael they do, that's what he's writing. Put a mark right onto the bread itself. But again, I'm not convinced that everyone else agrees with that ruling of Dine Fisher.